right, final segment before Enrique Tarrio, Stuart Rhodes, and more join us on the aftermath of J6, the left round trigger of civil war, Trump effectively getting out of the UN. I haven't even covered that yet. Pulled us out of all 66 agencies. Carl Serafin, in closing, top FBI whistleblower, you've really been spot on here. I don't want to fight with Bongino. I don't want to sit here and just be black-pilled. You got black-pilled that say everything's doomed. You got white-pilled that thinks everything's fine. I'm reality-pilled. But just looking at this, we're less than a year after the midterms. I know Trump's upset, too. If he doesn't get real action at the DOJ, we've got big problems. I've seen some action from actually DHS. Why couldn't he just go in an executive order and roll everything into DHS and fire the leadership of the FBI? Could that be done?
It could have been, but that's not what needed to be done. What they should have done, we gave them a plan, and here's the silly thing. We actually told Cash and Dan how to get this done, we being me and the other FBI whistleblowers, in conjunction with some retired agents.
Yeah, let's not forget they brought you in as consultants during the campaign.
We were telling them for a while how to get it done, and it's actually really simple. It's not even that complicated. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but like all you need to do is find all the people that were in management that were at that were above the GS-15 level, and assign them to be in charge of the broom closet somewhere in Guam, or send them to be in charge of federal crimes at their house and move into Puerto Rico. Like, get rid of those people, but let them retire on their own. Give them a promotion to somewhere that they can no longer affect the politics in the Hoover building.
And some of them will say, oh, you're being nice to them. No, the way federal law works, you can't get rid of them. It's a huge fight.
That's right. They're going to lose. They're going to lose, and we're going to end up paying them that money anyway. So you should just send them somewhere to go out and ride out their days and get the hell out of your way. By the way, that's what Hoover used to do. And Hoover actually knew how the FBI worked because he created it. The second thing that they should have done, which was really straightforward, is they should have sent out a survey, required all the special agents in charge of the divisions to give them a list of the top three agents by statistical accomplishments in the criminal division, and then also the top three from CT, the counterterrorism and counterintelligence. Take all your 9 best agents from every single one of those field offices, put them in a pile. Those are going to be the people you ask, and then query them for their top 4 or 5 managers at the GS-14 level, which is the squad level, the people that actually are running the investigations. And so say, hey, I want the best managers who have the best reviews from their own employees who are actually getting the best casework done. And then you're going to get 3 or 4 of those from every single office. And now you have 600 plus people that you can go and fill the ranks of all your management. And then just tell them, look, I know you don't want to do this, but we need you to be here. And by the way, we're going to let some of you work from the offices you're physically in so you don't have to uproot your wives and your husbands and your kids. Just turn the hourglass upside down. There was a way to get this done. They could have done it in 3-4 months. Instead, they still have Shannon Perry working there, and these guys never understood what was going on. So all of that is really disappointing. It's frustrating to me because
Everybody you've exposed is pretty much gone other than Patel.
They've all been fired showed them. Yeah, I had to show them who, Alex, before they fired these guys. Dan Bongino stole a year from us of functionality at the FBI. And that's why when you say the midterms are 1 year away, or they're in November, so 11 and a half months away, Dan Bongino stole that from us by sitting in that office and not knowing how to do the job he did. So I don't want that job. It's an awful job. He apparently didn't want it either. The problem is we needed somebody that knew how to do it to go there. I made some recommendations of who would have been good. They didn't want that freaking job. In fact, the deal that we worked on, and we asked the Trump administration, if you take our recommendation and put this guy in the job, he's an attorney, will you please give him a federal judgeship? Because he will never be able to work again. He will burn all the bridges and leave all the blood on the floor that needs to be left there. But he's never going to be able to work again. And, you know, help the guy out and put him in a federal judgeship somewhere because he's going to be the right guy. That's all we asked. And if they had done it, they'd be in great shape. And hindsight's 2020, but guess what? They didn't do anything that was functional because I know the number 4 person, the operations director for the FBI, is still a DEI hire that was, you know, promoted by Ray and Comey. So don't tell me they solved the problem. And you stole a whole year against our time clock. So now we're on a compressed timeline. I still want them to win. So I hope they get rid of some of these people. I hope they get rid of a bunch of them, including Patel. Put in a director that doesn't suck. Put Andrew Bailey and give him the shot that he needs. Promote people that do not suck, that want to make the FBI functional and not unconstitutional and doesn't go after whistleblowers. Like, you know, you got very little short time to make it happen. So do it. Be serious.
Well, Shannon Perry looks like she's 12 years old, too.
She's got some face work done. she definitely has a mold. They all look the same. I actually, for a second, I thought that was Jennifer Moore, the woman who fired me. They all kind of have the same look at the end of the day.
Oh, your drawing's too good, man.
Oh, yeah, all right. Oh, my God. All right, Kyle Serafin.
That's Botox for you.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
All right, buddy. We'll see you again.
Be safe. Oh, my goodness. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, there's one of our top champion political prisoners out free in the world, despite the tyrant's great wishes, Enrique Tarrio. And I wanted to get him on a few days ago, but we dropped the ball on January 6th to look at the aftermath of it. But I also want to get him on about the left trying to trigger a civil war, what just happened in Minnesota. They had the footage of the ICE getting rammed, but they covered that up. And what he expects from the left and what he thinks we should be doing right now. Also his view, because he's a Cuban American, on Venezuela and where all that's going. Enrique Tarrio, great to have you, my friend.
Always good to be with you, Alex. I mean, what's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is the same thing that we saw with the George Floyd riots. And I think I called it the first time when we saw the George Floyd debacle start happening. I said, this is going to get really bad, really fast. And it did. And it lasted a long time. It lasted a whole summer. I'd say it's lasted way after summer. And I think if law enforcement doesn't do the right amount of gives the right amount of force, I think that we're going to see George Floyd 2.0 on steroids.
I agree with you. And watching Jimmy Kimmel saying Trump's coming to kill you, and them lying and not showing the footage, the Washington Post, you know, putting out images saying, "Oh, the vehicle never hit him." I mean, these people are out of control. We know from the Podesta plan what they want. What do you expect them to do next, and how do we stop it?
I think I haven't been keeping up with it today. Obviously, I'm in D.C. right now. Just finished doing the January 6th march for Ashley Babbitt. So I can't tell you exactly what the law enforcement response is. But if they don't come in with a heavy hand now, you're going to see this spread way past just Minnesota. We're going to see this go to other cities like Atlanta, New York, D.C. here proper. We've seen Portland pop off a couple times over the course of the past couple months, actually since the beginning of the year. But it's going to get really bad, Alex. And I think that they should come in with a heavy hand and set the example that they need to set with these violent rioters. They can use Donald Trump right now with his executive order to label Antifa a domestic terrorist group. I think that statute needs to be used. Am I afraid that the next incoming administration, if they steal the election, will they use it? Yes, they will, but we can't be afraid of that because they're going to use it anyways. So I think a heavy-handed approach is necessary here.
Well, I'm the same place with 250 years. No republic or empire survived longer than that. That's like the expiration date. Like nobody's lived past maybe 110 for humans. And we got to get rid of the filibuster. They've all said they're going to. We've got to go whole hog here. I mean, we know the left are pure demons. It's like we're in the zone. This is the time of the fourth turning. This is when you break the glass. This is when you get the fire axe.
And I appreciate Kyle Serafin's comments before, because this all falls on one person and one person alone. It's Pam Bondi. You know, the Department of Justice needs to go out there. Cash Patel and the FBI need to be out there, and they need to like I said, look, when it comes to January 6th rioters, they use this arcane law of the 1512 and the seditious conspiracy, and they used it not for their intent. I believe fighting fire with fire and using those laws that are on the books, obstructing the 18 USC 1512, which is obstruction of an official proceeding. That's an obstruction charge. I think the woman that got shot, unfortunately, but by her own fault, you know, what she was committing is an act of obstruction, and I think attempted murder in that case. The video clearly shows it. So I appreciate Kyle saying everything he did. I've been following Kyle for a while, and he's always on point. People don't like Kyle, but people don't like people truth tellers. That's why people like all of us are so hated by the left.
Well, that's right. I mean, you see the guy bounce off the front of the truck and then shoot her. And then Jimmy Kimmel and everybody don't even show the footage, but the Washington Post just shows the clips from the back before it happens. That is premeditated lying, which we know they do, but God, they're arrogant.
Alex, they don't care about the video. They'll show the video and still say that the cop deserved to die. That this woman should have been allowed to do this. They don't care about the truth anymore. It's out in the open. We're seeing it in the halls of Congress. You know, we're seeing it in that same Capitol building. So it's time for action. You're 100% right about the filibuster. We've had a Congress that has done absolutely nothing. We're going to lose the House. You're going to see by February 28th of next year, you're going to see a three-time impeached President Trump. It's not going to pass in the Senate, but you will see them because that is their goal. Their goal is to get President Trump and get him at all costs. So, you know, I wish things were different. I might be going to Minnesota here soon if things start popping off. I'm currently in D.C. and I have no problem flying over. Just yesterday, Nick Sorter was asking for security. And he's a live streamer. All he does is hold a camera up.
Oh, yeah. Now we have videos of major activists on the street saying, we're going to kill Kyle Serafin, not Kyle Serafin, Nick Sordor and Nick Shirley.
Yeah, of course. And that tells you what it is, because all they do is sit there, show what's going on, and give their commentary on it with no bias. You know, Nick Shirley and Nick Sorter have no bias in this. They're not ultra right wingers or anything like that. I'm an ultra right winger, but they're just showing the truth, and that is a scary thing. As you've seen with the issues that you've had, the legal issues that you've had, the legal issues that I had, when you're effective, they want to take you down and they will take you down at all costs. And I will be on the ground in Minnesota if things get hot.
Well, Kyle Serafin was bringing up your prosecutor, mentioned her, who's still protected. You got Shannon Perry high level being protected. I mean, you know, and literally have people that talk to Trump. He doesn't know any of this, which I don't blame. He's got 4 million employees, but we've got to beat the drum and get these people removed. How do we reform 2 minutes to midnight or in sudden death overtime, the Justice Department?
I mean, I think we're past the sudden death overtime, Alex. Look, some of these January 6th protesters, you know, were arrested in January of 2021. And some of them were able to push their case past the inauguration of Donald J. Trump in 2025, January 20, 2025. What do you think happens when we start taking down these deep state actors, right? Like Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, right? They're going to have the best legal team in the world. And what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to push all the way past January 20th of 2029 with the next administration. All right, will it be J.D. Vance?
Democrats They've already run the clock. They're already feeling more confident. They should have been crushed immediately.
Here's a perfect example. Just 2 days ago, the statute of limitations have run out on any prosecutions that have to do with January 6th. They've run out. And then we see, look, I love Harmeet. But her message was, well, conspiracy charges can still continue past that. Well, that's not the point of prosecutions. You want to throw everything at them. I want to throw in those conspiracy charges. I want to throw in those charges that have the 5-year limit to charge them. I want to throw the book at them, right? Because that's the only way we're going to get them. And they can't be tried here in the District of Columbia, because we know that doesn't work, Alex. It's impossible for it to work. So I really hope we start seeing something, but I doubt it. Look, about Jocelyn Valentine, how hard is it? I get that justice takes time and getting indictments take time if you're doing them the right way. But how hard is it to walk into Jocelyn Valentine's office and knock on her door and be like, hey, pack your stuff. You're out of here. How hard is it to just fire these people? It shouldn't be that hard. Look, Special Agent Nicole Miller with the FBI, Special Agent Hanick, which is in charge of the pipe bomber case also, Jocelyn Valentine, Connor Mulrow, the main prosecutor in our case was Jason McCullough. He was demoted to the misdemeanor section of the Superior Court of D.C. Then he was fired, and then he was rehired. I just don't understand. Pam Bondi has to go, right? Dan Bongino, just a couple of days ago, resigned, with his head down. Right now he says he's going to go after the black pillars. He should have gone after the criminals, right? He had more power.
Well, that's the thing. I hate even talking about him. He's like literally acting like a bully, like calling a bunch of reporters I know saying, you better watch out. Like, watch out, dude. You better watch out. You're discredited. Like, what are you doing starting fights with us, bitch? You know, the globalists are the enemy.
Yeah, no, it's 100% right. And look, I logged in to his first podcast, right? And I'm like, it's on Rumble, which is his main platform. And I'm like, let me look through these comments section to see if there's as many people that like aren't seeing the way that I am. Alex, it took me a whole 5 minutes to find one positive comment on Dan Bongino. It shows me that Americans are watching and they're tired of it. He was given a job. He said he was going to go in there. He did absolutely nothing. Those prosecutions, those numbers that they pulled out that were already blown up, right? They're not realistic numbers. Those are things that he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be catching the pedophiles. He's supposed to be catching the drug dealers. He's supposed to be catching.
Sure, but when he comes out, if he had gone back to work, we'd have kind of looked over it. Instead, he comes out and says, now I'm going to fight you. And we're like, okay. I mean, that's dumb. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb because we've been around for so long. You can't touch us. We're untouchable because we're about the truth. InfoWars is about the truth, and we will not stop doing it. No podcaster that has done nothing in the 10 months. I don't even know how long. I think it was 10 months.
Yeah.
In the 10 months he was there, nobody's going to be able to take us down because we don't care about that. We don't care about making enemies. We just care about one thing and one thing only, and that is putting America first. And there's no better way to put America first than sit here and do what we've been doing for the past 10 years, Alex. You longer. You a lot longer.
Well, let me ask you this. I've got a lot to cover with you. Stuart Rhodes is coming in. My shot got a little bit longer when he's with us. He'll continue on to host the fourth hour. Moving on from that, I'm just obsessed with Bongino because it's so bizarre. We were even going to forgive him for flip-flopping, and hopefully he comes back and fights tyranny, and now he's like, I'm fighting all of you. Get ready. And it's just like, okay, dude, whatever. Moving on from him. I think it shows the delusional bubble that these people are in, but larger issue, Trump basically pulled out of the UN today. 66 global agencies pulled out of. He pulled out of the final carbon stuff. He's doing a great job there. I don't like Venezuela. Obviously, it takes down Cuba, and they've been in control of Mexico through Venezuela. I get Trump's move. I'm really worried about a quagmire. I know Europe, Cuban America got a lot of contacts. What is your view overall of Trump's? Because he's got military control, so at least there he's trying things. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but I want that same energy we see with Venezuela here domestically. I don't mean black helicopters giving people rides like Pinochet. I mean, blitzkrieging in against the criminals, which we did see in Minnesota. So now they, staged that. So, I mean, I've still got a lot of hope for Trump.
Yeah, I do. Look, and there's some disagreements with my fellow friends and colleagues when it comes to Venezuela. I'm not a dove. I've never been a dove. I've never been one of those no new war people. I think force is necessary. And I think, and I say this, I think that there's no
Well, that is
war.
The way the universe works. And America for 50 years has been doing force for the globalists. Nobody can deny it. This force is for America. You can argue whether he has the authority or whether it's going to work, but sure as hell, he's swinging for the fences for America.
I think so too. And look, there's nothing more American first than American supremacy on the Western Hemisphere. You know, I don't know why we're in the Sandlands or involved in Ukraine or anything, but I do believe that we should be responsible with what happens in the Western Hemisphere. I've been preaching about the Monroe Doctrine for years, so it made me very happy to hear the president talk about the Monroe Doctrine. We got to get the Chi-Coms. We got to get the Russians, all the Reds, we need to get them out of the Western Hemisphere. So I think, and look, he showed a strategy that I don't think has ever been used, right? He went in there and he took out like their leader, their false leader, you know, without bloodshed. Not a single U.S. Service member lost, no equipment lost. So I really applaud the president in this. Is Cuba next? Maybe. You know, I'm Cuban-American. I'd love to see my family that's still there. Most of my family is still in Cuba.
Can you imagine what Cuba would be like right now if Castro never got control?
Of course. You know, but one thing I will tell you that I don't want it at the cost of America first. Right. I want it done the right way. I'm an America firster. I would love to see my family. But if it hinders or damages any American interest by just 1%, I don't want to do it. But it is, if it is in America's interest, which I think it is, I'm for it. So I'll take a back seat here to the president of the United States when it comes to any of these countries in South America or the Caribbean.
Well, definitely Cuba is the brain that runs Venezuela. Venezuela runs Mexico. If this is successful, it's going to bring that all down. I mean, Cuba, as you know, is just endless depression. Electricity is off for most people, no medicine. I mean, they are literally a captured state. I don't want to go in there militarily, but I mean, how long can the dictators hold on there?
I don't think that they can hold on much longer. We saw just today another oil tanker being seized by the United States. I think that we're going to strangle their oil supply. I think it's actually our oil supply. We built the whole thing. They technically just stole it from us. So I think that we need to take some of that back and let the Venezuelan people choose anew without the interference of the CIA, which we know what happens in the CIA during the Cold War and all the South America. You know, it worked out for Chile in 1973. I guess the CIA picked a good person at that time. Look what happened when Pinochet was out of office. You know, Chile was the most prosperous country in South America, and it isn't anymore. It's one of the poorest ones. So I think it's in America's best interest.
Well, people think communism's failed. I know you're an expert on it, literally living it, but I've studied it. They make you poor on purpose, folks. They admit that.
Yeah. I've always been taught by my grandfather, which was the first one that came here, that the goal of communism, specifically in Cuba, is to starve the people so they only have one thing to worry about, is food. You know, they don't have any energy to protest or anything like that, because your whole life is, and I've been to Cuba multiple times, your whole life, like your day to day, is just how to hustle in order to put food on the table for your family. It's your entire lifestyle, sitting in bread lines all day. Bread lines are a thing. This isn't just like a meme that Americans just say. They're a real thing that happens. There's a little notebook and you're only allotted this much. It's like going to the grocery store.
And they say everybody has free health care, but you don't get cataract surgery. You don't get a knee surgery. You're given a cane. Yep. Yeah, you have free health care, yep, but you don't get any. They don't even, you can go to Cuba, those beautiful women, for like a $10 packet of dewormer, they'll have sex with you. The government won't even give them dewormer.
I won't tell you if that's true, Alex. I can't tell you if that's true or not. But I think it's pretty true. But I'll tell you, there was a time where it was true. It wasn't just dewormer, it's toothpaste. This was back in the early 90s, toothpaste, because that was the first time I went over there. And I thought they were kidding. Yes, it is completely accurate to say that, because that's what they're going through. My family suffered so much. You know, my grandfather, every morning, you know, he uses WhatsApp and he talks to you know, his brother, my uncle, and you know, it's horror stories every morning. You know, it's amazing.
Talk about what from your family in Cuba, what they report.
They're constantly reporting. I know every morning, because I see him every morning on his phone with the WhatsApp thing. and they're reporting some type of tragedy every morning. Oh my God, they ran out of the other day they ran out of ham, and they didn't have ham for a whole month, and that was like the meat, the protein that was allotted to them for a whole month. So you can't slaughter some animals in Cuba. You can't slaughter a cow. Just you go to prison. You know, if you slaughter.
Yeah, I was
a
reading
cow.
If they catch you fishing, you go to jail.
Yes. Yes. If they catch you. Yes. They catch you fishing, it's not like, oh, you got to make sure it's this size, you know, kind of like fish and wildlife. If they catch you fishing, period, you might go to jail in the wrong spot. You might you'll go to jail, and you'll go to jail for a very, very long time. They take that very seriously. Those crimes where you steal food, you know, there's a 5-year mandatory minimum on most of those charges. So I think that it's important for people to know. I think a lot of Americans, they preach this anti-communist message, and I love it. But I truly think that they don't know. You won't know what that is until you go over there. My last trip was in 2017. I think I was on your show right after I took that trip, and we talked about it. That trip to Cuba was really depressing, man. And I'll tell you what, when I got off the plane here in Miami, I kissed the asphalt. I kissed the asphalt, you know.
Yeah, you told that story. I can find it's like a PBS documentary even. I saw like 6 or 7 years ago where it shows from basic medicines. Yeah, people will, because there's just nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing available to your everyday. Now, you go as an American citizen with an American passport, and you're able to purchase whatever you want. That's what's crazy. It's like they're putting foreigners in Cuba. They're putting foreigners first. And that's what the result is. That's what it's resulting in. If you're a tourist, you can get a steak, a nice juicy steak. You know, I don't know who killed it. It's probably the government that killed it, because you can't kill it. You can't slaughter anything. You can't slaughter cattle over there. You go to jail. So that's exactly what's coming here. That's exactly what we're seeing in Minnesota.
Well, look at Mondami officially saying we're going to take white people's houses. I mean, they're just setting the premise. Yeah. He says we're going to seize the means of production.
Yeah. I mean, is anybody surprised that he did that? And how did we go from, you know, 9/11? And I understand there's an alternate story there, but how do we go from the official government story of saying, oh, these Muslim terrorists or whatever, to like electing one of them? You know, I don't vibe with everybody that's like obsessed with Israel, or the ones that say, oh, the Muzzies. It's about, I don't care. I don't want a single foreigner in the United States that's not supposed to be here. And I think there's none that's supposed to be here. I think we should be deporting them, right? And it might sound, I mean, we're in 2026. It's not, the sounds inhumane. It's logical. It's nonstop.
Well, we know the Democrats said they're here for the congressional apportionment to get more seats and to vote. So it's not like even all the foreigners are bad. It's that they've been brought here as a weapon. So, sorry. Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, look what California, when people say, well, illegals don't vote for a presidential election, they do, right? I believe it's 4 or 5 of those points that are allotted to California are for illegals. They're counting illegals.
Yeah, the Democrats have gotten 18 seats off illegal aliens in the last.
Yeah. And is it going to stop? And it's going to stop when Congress pulls out of the filibuster, right? Removes the filibuster, pass Donald Trump's agenda, right? Pass the America First agenda, because they're going to do it to us. They're going to do
it
to us.
We have to strike now, and Trump's really trying to get done. Come back. I want to ask you, though, about Jan 6, 5 years later. Totally vindicated. Pelosi set it up on video 2 years before planning it, her own family admitting it. And then you've got this Patsy pipe bomber totally in his car, miles away, caught on camera while the other pipe bomber's there. And he's like autistic, and just how crazy it is. And knowing in 3 years they get back in, they've told us they're coming after you and me and everybody. So we need Trump to succeed, folks. I'm not black pilled or white pilled. I am survival pilled. Enrique Tarrio will give you his sites, Noble One on X, NobleLead.substack.com. Stay with us. I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night, and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going, and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be, people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing to help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, yeah, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system, and it's this really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell, but that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's the Alex Jones Show. All right, the great Stuart Rhodes, veteran, lawyer, former staffer with Ron Paul, been interviewing forever, founder of Oath Keepers, political prisoner, J6, founder of the Oath Keepers. And we got Enrique Tarrio. You guys are totally vindicated on the election fraud. It's all been proven, just like we said. It's all coming out. J6 being a Fed's erection, the pipe bombing guy being a patsy. Everything the Feds are doing is the wheels are coming off. And then Bongino's mad that he was part of it, so he's mad at all of us because we're not delusional. And then we've got all this other craziness going on. I want to just recap with Enrique before he leaves us. She'll be hosting the fourth hour. Ivan Reichel's coming on with huge breaking news. We got a lot to cover before he comes on about what is it like 5 years after that setup happened, and for you both, Stuart, and then now what's come out so far?
Well, for me, it's frustrating. I'm sure Enrique agrees. we have not seen the justice we were promised. And we're, of course, grateful to be out of prison. It was a fantastic day when we got set free on inauguration night. But, you know, it's not about us. It's about our country. And we need justice. We need to have the deep state taken down. We need the swamp drained. This is what President Trump ran on.
Yeah, just because you guys, Trump ejected you out of the Death Star prison, the Death Star is still out there.
Exactly. Good analogy. So I feel very frustrated. I think it's time to stop giving excuses for President Trump. He's the one in the hot seat. He's the commander in chief. He's the president. So we got to push him to do his duty.
I said that the first hour and second hour. I said at this point, he's leaving all these deep state prosecutors in.
Right. So, yeah, Pam Bondi, like Enrique was saying, Pam Bondi is, of course, the direct problem, but so is Kash Patel, and so is everybody else that President Trump is letting stay in place, even though they are not only failing, they are actually obstructing justice, like framing another innocent man. That's a young, innocent man that they're framing for the pipe bomb.
And he's totally innocent. Kyle Serafin came on when it first happened and said, look at the GPS location. He's miles away, DoorDash. While the pipe bomber's on, and it turns out now his car is on video. It's him. He's innocent.
Yeah, he's driving while he's also planting bombs. It's impossible. So yeah.
While the other person's planting bombs.
Right.
So why would they? Right when we force it out, right when it turns out we know who did it, they magically suddenly bring forward a patsy, and Bongino. Not to single him out, he hung his hat on that.
Yeah, well, he's part of the problem. So now, F Bongino.
Let's just say it. He's not dumb. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's gone over to the other side. And so is Judge Jeanine, and so is Kash Patel, and so is Bondi.
Enrique,
how quick did that happen, you know?
Yeah.
We were all rooting for them. I'm like, oh, my God, it's crazy. They're going to get this damn
Well,
Bongino
you guys
guy.
Didn't. I know they offered you guys, because I talked to your lawyers. They're like, oh, it's all sealed. Don't talk about it. About the feds and all of it. And it was you guys could have rolled over against Trump and been released just like that. So you can look at Bongino and say, we didn't sell out facing prison. You did.
Yeah.
You're a sellout, okay?
Yep.
Want to come on to debate?
Not only that, I started remembering everything before from Bongino. I don't know if you guys remember this, but he had two failed projects that he promised the same way. When he took over Parler, he said he was going to go ahead and revamp Parler and make it a better place and on all of that failure, right? Now Parler has a new team. Fresh team without Dan Bongino, and I think they're starting a new product, and it's looking pretty promising. And then he started a credit card processor. When they were kicking all of us off credit card processors, he said, you know what, we're going to open up a credit card processing system. Send an email to this. Never got a reply. I sent a whole bunch of people, just even normies. I had a friend of mine that had a lawn service. I'm like, oh, try this new thing from Dan Bongino. He hasn't answered my email yet, but he might answer yours. Never answered it.
By the way, I don't want to go to jag against him. He's just patient zero for traitors. I forgot we've been debanked back then. I went to him, no response.
Sorry, yes, guys. Exactly. So everything started to make sense. I'm like, all right, Dan Bongino, great, awesome, man. You know, and here we go. You know, 10 months later, I quit. I quit because it was so hard on my family. You know what was hard on my family? My hard on my family was me being in prison for 3 years and them having to sell everything and them having to travel to D.C. constantly to go to my trial. That's hard on my family.
And I heard
family,
that jail literally, you know? Cockroaches everywhere.
Yeah, I'm so sorry you have to go back to your million-dollar mansion and back to your podcast.
Right.
Like, to him, it's all about numbers. Oh, these podcast numbers. Well, you know what? InfoWars blows the doors off those numbers, and we don't have to sell out to anybody.
Amen.
Well, without going forever into him, he's just a case point example.
It's an example of not just failure, but I believe, frankly, treason. And this is the problem. We have traitors around President Trump. We can't afford that anymore. It's got to stop. That's what we saw the first
time. And I asked you, because did you hear about Bongino take? You said no. And I said, what's the thing? He said, he knows he sold out. He's got a reboot. He wants to change the subject, attack us, thinking he'll trick people. That's exactly what I think.
Yeah, he thinks he can just pick up where he left off. You can't. He went in there. He raised his hand and swore an oath again to support and defend the Constitution. Not only did he fail to defend it, he helped violate it. He helped violate an innocent man's rights.
And I'm going from memory, because I know Roger Stone, he told me before it came out, they came to me and they said, just say Trump was involved with WikiLeaks, we drop everything, and we give you a big job. I've had him do that to me, too, and, you know, off-record meetings and other things. But I don't remember, but didn't they obviously reach out to you guys to sell Trump out, and you didn't do it?
Not directly, but they threatened us with life in prison, and then they sent a letter to me saying, you have like 10 days to make a deal. And the only deal I could have made was turn on President Trump. But I told him to go pass.
So it's not like you guys are just sitting back with Mr. Tough Guy Bongino.
No, Enrique was offered directly, right, Enrique?
Enrique, tell us.
He wasn't offered.
I was offered directly to throw the president under the bus through Roger Stone. They said that through Roger Stone, me and the president were communicating on these code words. You know, they have all the messages. Actually, all the messages are public for the most part because they all came out during trial. And you could read into it like, hey, what's a good pizza spot in Broward? What's a good pizza spot in D.C.? Because, you know, he loves Italian food. There was no communication with. I wish I had a direct line to the president.
Well, me too,
the president,
man.
Could tell me what
By
he,
the way, Roger
wanted.
Is obsessed with Sicilian food, and he's opening an Italian restaurant in Florida. But I've got text messages from him saying, where's the best Italian around here? That's hilarious. So yeah. They were trying to get you to say those were code words?
Those were code words, and I was communicating with the president a plan to stop the certification of the election, and that if I would go with their story and lie, that I could go home. They'd set a bail hearing for next week. I'd go home, and I wouldn't serve any more time in jail.
That's right.
Because they said, well, we know that you might have to testify against the president of the United States in federal court, and that's going to be tough for you, so we're not going to give you any time. You know what prosecutor that was? Jocelyn Ballantyne.
You're the same one who's now persecuting another innocent man. The passy for the pipe bomb. That's right.
Yep.
So the fact that she has not been fired and the fact that she's now helping to persecute yet another innocent person to cover up for the Fed's direction tells you all you need to know about Pam Bondi. President Trump should fire Pam Bondi.
No, I agree. And I said 6 months ago, if in 6 months Trump hasn't reshuffled, I'm going to start going after him. I still love the good he's doing, but I'm going to put major pressure on him to stop it. That's reality pilled. What do we do then now that I think the time's up? I think you've gotten to that point months ago. I've finally gotten there. I'm not putting up with this.
No, we have to. We have to like a laser focus on, hey, President Trump, here's what you have to do in response to what's going on and now in Minneapolis. He should invoke the Insurrection Act, what I've been calling for since 2020. It's what he has to do. He needs to just get serious about actually going after the bad guys. Why did it take Nick Shirley, a private citizen, to go and disclose all the fraud? Now you have the FBI, I guess, and DOJ running in to go prosecute.
Which shows the power of the grassroots, which right. I said was the solution last week. I said, we have to stop hoping for Trump and everybody to do the job. We have to do it ourselves in the information war.
Right, but there's only so much we can do. We can't invoke the Insurrection Act. He can, and he should. President Eisenhower did it. So I would just send in the 101st.
Let's get to that. I'm going to let Enrique go. And I meant to get you guys on the six, all of you, but then somehow brain fart didn't happen. I want to do sometime next week, like 2 hours with everybody on J6 and going forward, because you guys are the proven patriots that in the face of all this, literally in the crucible being persecuted, didn't sell the country out. And we just really appreciate you as model Americans. Thank you so much, Enrique Tarrio. People can find you at Noble One on X and NobleLead@Substack.com. Enrique, closing comments.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Alex, I gotta start with you. Look, I really appreciate you. And I'd say appreciate you being a friend to me, but it wasn't just friendship. You were out there, you were fighting for us. And because of you, a lot of us, including Stuart and the 1,600 other J6ers, and because of the viewers at InfoWars, you guys are the reason we're home. So I want to thank you, Alex, personally. And I want to thank the viewers of InfoWars. You guys have been amazing. You guys have been loyal, and you guys have been very loyal to the cause that is America First. So thank you again, Alex, for having me on.
Well, thank you. But I want to say this, Enrique, because it's true. What listeners have is burn their brain. Trump always says they're not trying to get me. They got to get through me to get to you. I defend you guys because you're friends of mine. I know we're patriots being set up. But if they can set up other good people, they can set me up. Benjamin Franklin said, we hang together, hang separate. Yep. And people have to get that through your head. When one of our people or anybody's being persecuted, that's us.
Yeah.
You have to take it personal.
Yeah. Hey, where we go one, we go all, right?
That's right.
Motto goes. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Enrique. Right. Talk to you soon.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
I'll be seeing you soon.
I'll be in that studio soon.
Come see us, brother.
Yes, I will be seeing you soon.
We're still here. Still hanging on. Now, let's get into what happened in Minnesota. They've been waiting for this. They've been begging for it. The Podesta plan. They have the video that she tried to run him over, hit him. They're trying to spin that. Kimmel, you know, all of it. It's so disgusting. Where do you see this going?
Well, the problem is that, like I was talking to you on before the on the break, is that because President Trump is not actually going after the actual deep state, the ones who are pulling the strings, they send their foot soldiers, their pawns out into the street to antagonize and attack ICE and ram them, shoot at them. They've done all of this.
Kill them.
And the goal, of course, is what they just got yesterday. They wanted that to happen. They wanted, like as you said, they wanted to poke and prod until they got what they wanted. That's why the problem is that President Trump is letting them drive the narrative by doing this. He needs to go after them. That's why I'm frustrated about the Minnesota fraud being exposed by a private citizen. That should have been exposed a long time.
Yeah, use the analogy of World War II. You have the Japanese carrier launching Zeros. You don't blow up the Zeros, you blow up the aircraft carrier.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's a good analogy. So President Trump should be going after them. He should be exposing what Nick Shirley's doing is a continuation of Doge. Doge should come back. President Trump should bring that back and go. And look at Tim Walz. He's going to have to resign now from governor. That's the right track. Go after them and do your best to not give them what they want. So I believe what should happen is anytime they're on an operation like this, no one should be able to drive a vehicle anywhere in that area. They should block all the streets. So you use the National Guard.
They don't have enough people. Exactly. The National Guard should block the roads.
Right. That's why they should invoke the Insurrection Act, because it's square on point. We're facing an open rebellion and insurrection across the country. We're facing direct violent opposition to execution of the federal laws of the union. That's squarely on point. He just invoked the Insurrection Act. It also puts him in a stronger position. The Supreme Court just recently upheld an injunction against him sending National Guard in Chicago because he has not invoked the Insurrection Act.
And they have tried to demonize ahead of time him using the Guard because they know that's the right move. He should do whatever they say he shouldn't do.
Right. I mean, so he has advisors around him. This is the problem. Is all around him, again, are traitors, I believe.
Other than Stephen Miller.
Not just in... Right. I'm not saying Stephen Miller is that way. And Tulsi's good, too. But he has some great people, but around him are still people who are giving him horrible advice. Either they're incompetent or they're actually complicit in obstructing him. And the same as in the first term, like Bill Barr was. So he needs to fire and clean house and put firebrands in there. So when I host the fourth hour, I'm going to bring on Ivan Raichlin as a good example. I would make Ivan Raichlin the friggin' attorney general, you know, or someone like that. Someone you know is going to be loyal to America first, loyal to defending the republic, and unafraid. You can't have anybody.
And by the way,
there.
If we put who they see as Darth Vader's in, they're all going to fold. They're close to folding right now. A lot of people have already deserted them. This is all about we have to exercise power now so they give up.
Right. But like you said, you have to go after the actual heart of the deep state. You have to go after them. You can't go after foot soldiers in the street. So that's why you have to, and this is the problem. If you don't invoke the Insurrection Act, you don't put the troops on the street, you have a situation like yesterday where you have police officers, federal law enforcement, who are not having all the assets they need to block the streets and prevent someone from driving in, and they're dealing with on foot, dealing with people in cars. That's how you got what you had yesterday. So to stop that, block all the streets. No one should be able to go in or out for miles while they're doing their operation.
But expanding on that, what about the screaming Karens, like 80% old white women, I'm not being mean, all over the country screaming, yelling, throwing things at them, blocking their cars, ramming them. How did they brainwash our own people to not want convicted pedophiles and criminals and murderers to be around? These people are crazy.
Well, they can get them to believe there's no such thing as a man or a woman. They can get them to believe anything. As you said just the other day while I listened to your show, they've got them to the point where they can suspend reality. And they believe, they truly believe they're fighting Nazism and fascism, and they're fighting on behalf of innocent people. So that's why I think it was smart at the outset to focus on the more violent gangbangers, and they should still focus on that. It's a mistake to go arrest a lady with a taco cart, and that happened in Chicago, or a tamale cart. So be judicious about how you do it, because you're in an info war, as you've always said. They want the perception of illegitimacy, perception of excessive force, the perception of innocent people or nice people or people that aren't really harmful being deported. That's what they want. They don't want the focus to be on all the violent criminals. They want the focus to be, like I said, a lady with a tamale cart.
And they still are mainly focused on the violent ones they're still putting again.
They are.
The problem is Trump wanted action, so he put quotas on.
That's the problem.
So you're going to get them.
That's the same problem we saw in Vietnam, right? You have quotas on body counts, so you wind up with guys smoking people they shouldn't smoke just to get body counts. And you start thinking, well, that just shows, oh, look at the results we're getting. Go after the real bad guys. Be very careful, because everything you do is going to be under a microscope. It's not fair, just the reality, though. So that's why you have to make sure that if you want to avoid a situation where an officer has to use lethal force against a Karen in a car, you have to make sure no cars can get in.
Well, Trump should go on the offense and point out the real video of the lady ramming him. And I'm all for free speech, but when the Washington Post, CNN, and them say, we've seen the video, she didn't do anything, that becomes really a criminal hoax.
I mean, it would have been better if everyone would have said nothing. It's like, hey, it's under investigation. We don't talk about an ongoing investigation. But now that the cat's out of the bag and they're making these allegations, hold a press conference, show all the video from start to finish, the whole progression of what she was doing, that we have context, and let the American people decide for themselves.
And Trump can play a reel of them ramming hundreds of times and shooting at people and shooting up the Border Patrol ICE van, trying to kill ICE but killing two illegals, and just show all that and saying, are you surprised? Yeah. And then the mayor 2 weeks ago threatening, you'll be dead if you keep coming here.
Yeah, show all that. Like last time it was on, we were frustrated that President Trump should get up about the Sedition 6. He should get up and do a press conference with Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth helping him to say, okay, let's talk about your oath. Let's talk about all the things they're doing to destroy our country and use their tactic against them. Same thing here. Take advantage of this and do a press conference and have a use of force expert get up there and say, here is the protocol for dealing with people in vehicles who are attempting to run you over. Here's what happens. Here's why this is lawful.
And explaining that there's the Soros and the minions are giving them points to go out and get them killed. Hey, let's point that out. I told you this. The mayor, the governor, it's already come out. They all have law firms, as I explained, that suck up big fees off the Somalis. That's how it works in Austin. I learned that 25 years ago with the illegal aliens. Sarah Clark, Mayor Jacob Frey's wife, worked at for Hayden Advocacy and Law. Hayden Advocacy and Law provided legal and lobbying representation to Feeding Our Future, $250 million food and aid fraud. You have the head of that group at his rallies behind him. So, it's all coming out just how corrupt they are.
And that's why Tim Walz, I think, is probably glad this happened yesterday, because it deflects attention from what he's been doing. He's been at the head of it, right? Him and his entire party have been involved in systemic fraud, as it's coming out. So he's deflecting now.
All right, you're going to get to what's happening on the home front next hour when you host with Ivan Raiklin, former Defense Intelligence Agency lawyer, Green Beret, really smart guy, and about just the overview of Trump. But let's get into Venezuela, the larger plan. I get Trump's right. I don't like Venezuela. I don't like the dictator. So I've said tacitly he has the authorization. I'm concerned about a setup, a civil war, the CIA sabotaging it. What's your take on that?
Exactly. And that's why Ratcliffe should be fired, too. I mean, he's a rat. He's not the right person to be in the CIA. And he should do with the CIA what I advocated he should do with the FBI. Send all of them home, have military intelligence take over that function again, like they used to do before the CIA was ever created. The CIA, from its inception, has overstepped its bounds. It was created by Truman. He signed a law so they could be one place we can go to for information, which is what the DNI does now, right now. So, but the CIA, out of the gate, began to do its own foreign policy, its own domestic policy, its own assassinations, its own, its own coups across the world, and it's still doing that today, including here at home. And so Brennan is still running the CIA, just like Alan Dulles ran the CIA. Even though JFK fired him, Alan Dulles ran the CIA and orchestrated JFK's murder. Brennan is running the CIA still from outside of it to destroy our country. And so
what should Trump do about Venezuela?
Well, so for Venezuela, now that he's captured Maduro, I think he's reaffirmed the Monroe Doctrine. I agree with that. So I disagree with a lot of my libertarian friends on this. I believe that when it comes to our own hemisphere, we can't have China colonizing our hemisphere. And that's what they're doing. But the real danger to this country, the real death from fentanyl, comes from Mexico. So if we're going to go take down Maduro, what about Sheinbaum? What about the cartels in Mexico? So I think what he should do is focus on Mexico now. He should say, we've given you our shot across the bow to the remaining regime in Venezuela. You need to negotiate with us. Put that in a negotiation mode, but then turn to Mexico and say, because you have failed to stop the cartels, there's still sex trafficking on the border. It's still happening. It's still coming across the border. Fentanyl's still coming across the border. Put the military on the border, like I advocated for years now. They used to police the border back before there was a border patrol. Put the military.
Yeah, and the
on
left
the border.
Goes, oh, that's a police state. No, it's in the Constitution. The military's supposed to be on the border.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, I mean, way back in the day, Pershing came across the border to go chase after Pancho Villa. There were army forts all along the border. put the military on the border. It's been successful in the past. Seal the border and put attention and pressure on Sheinbaum and let her know that you've got X number of days to do X, Y, and Z. If not, we're going to come into northern Mexico and we're going to smoke the cartels. Not to occupy it, just to target the cartels and take them out.
What'd you call it, a security zone?
Yeah, I've always advocated for a 30-mile DMZ in the Mexican territory. Just like Afghanistan was a failed state, Mexico is a failed narco state. I think Sheinbaum is actually their puppet, like past presidents of Mexico.
Well, she defends them.
Right. Well, I mean, she had other rivals, other potential candidates were murdered by the cartels. So she's their puppet.
They killed like 30 mayoral candidates?
Right.
This year? Last year?
Yeah. So they're intimidating and killing anybody that would be actual opposition. She's not opposition. So go 30 miles in. You're a failed narco state. We're not attacking Mexico. We're not attacking the Mexican people. We're attacking the cartels. And be very careful. Be very judicious about how you use force.
Yeah, but when you see a whole base, you know, narco terrorists, there's armored vehicles and mass graves. You just...
You smoke them.
Smoke them.
Yeah. And our special operations, as we just showed, can do that. Not occupying, well, occupying 30 miles of it. 30 miles, clean the cartels out, leave the Mexican people alone, and let them know we're here to protect you from the
cartels. And anytime you crawl back into the 30 miles, you're dead.
Yeah, you're not going to have an uprising by the Mexican people against our special.
Oh, they're going to love it.
They're going to love it.
Well, I saw polls in Mexico. They're usually pretty national. The majority want us to do this.
Yeah, well, of course they do, because they tried themselves, the auto defensive units like in Michoacan. They rose up and armed themselves and took it to the cartels and kicked the cartels' asses. But then the Mexican government came in with
the
rallies and disarmed them. They wouldn't let the people defend themselves. So long-term, I advocate, back then I said, hey.
A Second Amendment for Mexico.
Yeah, we should just parachute rifles into Mexico for the people. So I would smoke the cartels in that 30-mile DMZ. Arm and train the people who live there.
Send the Green Berets in to do that.
Right. And so they're in your, like we had the...
Stay there. I'll do 5 more minutes with you, then a break. You take over and host. And Ivan Reichlin's coming up. Listen, folks. We are in deep court battles, civil rights suits. You don't even see it in the news. You notice we're supposed to be shut down. We are suing the hell out of them. There are criminal investigations. I'm not supposed to get into them. We are fighting. We're still here. But I got the will to fight. I'll never back down. But I could give out without your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Tonight is the last night of this huge sale. You can buy any of the supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, any of these incredible products. Get a free bottle of Atomic Defense Immune Boosting or the Shilajit Gummies. Don't know what Shilajit does? It's incredible. Research it. We've got the best. And there's 6 days left. Every order gets you put in 50X in to get the Ford Raptor 3.5 liter twin turbo, amazing super truck, and so much more. We have so many other great products in the store, and we have over 700 different t-shirt designs. It's quite elaborate, but the newest one is a limited edition. Support your local ICE raids. Look at that t-shirt. It's been made in Arkansas. They're shipping me one tomorrow. I'll have it on the show. There that is. Be sure and get that at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's what funds this operation. Not Israel, not Qatar, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, you. So tonight is the last night to get a free bottle of Shilajit or Atomic Defense with any order. Other big discounts are happening as well at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel anytime, and get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals and special offers. Thanks for your support. These are amazing products. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity. The world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.